You can't win, Darth. If you strike me down, I shall become more powerful than you can possibly imagine.
The number of people looking to buy firearms is up nearly 50% compared to 2007, according to the FBI.
In the month of November, our gun sales were probably comfortably 250% of what an average month is.
All in favor of losing your rights? Please do nothing.
This rally is not about guns. But what these guns that everybody's going to wear represent is the true badge of the free man. That he can bear arms in defense of himself without permission from anyone. And that's what these arms represent.
Gun laws in the U.S. vary by state, and the amount of regulation is a hot-button political issue. Can't take me.
You have associated two U.S. senators and associating them or comparing them to terrorists. I said, well, they are.
Can't take me.
Fill your hand, you son of a bitch.
You can't take me.
Control is on the rise. We make our ends meet, take what we need to survive. A shot, one kill is such a thrill. That's the way that I was raised. When I pick up a gun, I hit right where I aim. It's time to take a stand. It's time to draw the line. You better bring yours when you come to take mine. Granddaddy taught my daddy how to hunt and how to fish, how to be a man. Don't take any shit. Raised up on the good book, learned about the land. They grew what they ate, they didn't get it from Uncle Sam. It's time to take a stand, it's time to draw the line. You better bring yours when you come to take mine. Go and round up all them Yankee boys, get ready for a fight. I'll round up all my rebel friends, meet you at the Mason-Dixon line. Cause the South is gonna rise again, and we're gonna kick your ass this time. You better bring yours when you come to take mine. It's not really about North or South, it's about red, white, and blue. I'll fight beside any Yankee man if he feels like I do. We'll stand here today and we'll proudly say to the man in the suit and tie, you better bring yours when you come to take mine. So go and round up all them Yankee boys, get ready for a fight. You might have won that war back in 1865, But the South is gonna rise again, and we're gonna kick your ass this time. You better bring yours when you come to take mine. You better bring yours when you come to take mine. You can bring yours. But Mr. President, you ain't taking mine.
Welcome to the Shooting Bench on Survival Circle Radio Network, keeping you informed on guns, news, politics, guns, survival, preparedness, and guns. The tyrant is holding our country hostage, and our freedom is at stake. It's time to take a stand and tell the tyrant, we will not comply. Join me now in the never-ending fight against tyranny, right here on the Shooting Bench. Okay, we made it in here in time. Welcome to the Shooting Bench, 12th of March. It's a Monday. Hope everybody had a great weekend. There's, boy, if there was ever a lot going on at any time we've done this show, it's right now. Ton of stuff. Let me make sure, let's dash over here to the chat room and make sure we have, there we go. You guys are on it. NM Glock, Tebow. I count on you guys without having to wait too long to see if we have sound. So, doing good. So, I guess Florida passed their law, and apparently, if I remember correctly, it was signed into law, and that was raising the age to buy any gun up to 21. Tebow, correct me if I'm wrong. I didn't have time to look everything up when I came in here tonight, so okay. And it looks like Illinois is working on a law that has already passed the Senate to actually confiscate guns and bump stocks and whatever from 18 to 20 year olds, anything, everybody under 21. So, and apparently the Illinoisians, or whatever you call them, what do you call people from Illinois? Apparently they, I guess they're okay with this. We should see Florida and Illinois both rising up in vast numbers here and challenging this law, challenging the government and whatever it means necessary to get this resolved. And of course it would be preferable that they can get enough people, enough peaceful protesters out there, and enough big names, enough articulate, enough bright, articulate people to write letters and for, you know, whatever we have to do. I mean, I'm stumbling here because I think we're just about to run out of peaceful options. They get a little bit here and a little bit there. 31 states since the Parkland shooting that have attempted or are about to attempt
similar gun legislation, similar to what Florida and Illinois are doing. 31 states. Now, if you think that this is not going to be a federal federal law, federal mandate here pretty shortly, you're crazy as hell. Now, I will say, and for those of you that follow me on Facebook, you know, I said this 2 or 3 weeks or a month ago. I don't remember when it was. I'd have to go back and look it up. But I wondered if Trump wasn't dangling the carrot out in front of these liberals here and were playing them for a fool to begin with. And that may be exactly what's happening, because I just got a story in here just as I sat down. I haven't even read it yet. But apparently, it looks like President Trump is abandoning his promise to work for gun control measures that were initially, or still are, opposed by the NRA. They say that he is bowing to the gun group and embracing its agenda of armed teachers and incremental improvements to the background check system. I say that this was the plan all along, that he was trying to get, now I still could be wrong. I don't know what he has up his sleeve. I know he ain't stupid. But after this Florida deal, he has, specifically called on live television for raising the age limit up to, for rifles and shotguns, up to 21. And he backed the legislation that was tried back, I don't know what, 5 years ago for pretty much universal background checks. Later on, he told folks in Congress there that while the NRA has great power over you people, they have less power over me. However, remember when he said that? Not too long ago. But today, Monday, March 12th, 2018, it was President Trump who appeared to have knuckled under, again, magnifying or what would you call it? Anyway, showing that the NRA still shows the power that they have. This does not make me a big NRA fan. Okay, I quit being an NRA fan a long time ago. However, I will not completely abandon the NRA for a couple of reasons. One of them, they've done a hell of a lot of good in the last 150, 70 years, whatever it's been. And the other thing is, while they do make mistakes and they do things that I'm not in support of, that I'm vehemently opposed to sometimes, they're still, even if they don't do the things that we like, they're still a pro-gun group. My money and my major support goes to Gun Owners of America. They are no-nonsense, no-compromise pro-gun group that, but they don't have the numbers, they don't have the money, they don't get the stuff done as well as they would like to, as well as I would like for them to. And I do not financially support the NRA anymore. But, like I said, I'm not going to throw them under the bus either. They're still doing some good. It may not be as much good as I would like to see them do, but they're still doing some good. And to completely abandon them at this point, with all of this going on, is to sign our own death warrant. Now, with all that being said, I'm not so sure that I'm not in support of all of these gun-grabbing laws and, you know, sometimes I just say, well, just turn them loose and let them do it. Let's see what America is made of. What'll happen, mark my words, write this down, Make a little note. What's going to happen is there'll be a big fight, and the Democrats will get a little bit of what they want, get their foot wedged a little farther in the door. The Republicans will think they've won. President Trump will take credit for all of it. And we will have given up another small piece. Yet again, we will have backed down and let them have a little bit. You know, in about 3 months, 6 months, a year, I doubt if it'll take a year, they'll be right back at it and get another little piece. There are several states that are entertaining notions of not only prohibiting 18 to 20-year-olds from buying long guns, but from they are looking at taking the long guns that they have already. 22 rifles, semi-automatic rifles, maybe all rifles. Some of them have, some of them specifically say semi-automatic, some of them just say long guns. And the tinker, that's the idea right there. Shoot the toes off and slam the door. There you go. Works for me. So that means if I read these things correctly, it doesn't say that they cannot only not buy a gun from a dealer. It means that they cannot buy one from anybody. It means that they cannot possess, they cannot have in their possession a rifle. There's some exemptions there for hunting and being with a parent or being with a, you know, somebody that's over 21 or whatever. But this means that all of us Americans that are 9, 12, 16, 15, 14, 17, that means they have a long wait if you can't even be in possession. This is going to create criminals come Christmas time when the folks want to get 9-year-old little Johnny his first 22 rifle. In some places. And NM Glock, you know, I would like to say that's a good question, but your question doesn't make any sense. And I'll tell you why. Because the liberals don't make any sense. There's no logic. There's no reason. There's no rhyme or reason whatsoever for what they do. For those of you not on the chat room, NM Glock says, well, most of your mass shooters are over 21. And they are. We read that the other day, was last week, and there was, out of many, I don't remember the number of them, there was a bunch. There was what, 3, 4 that was under 21? Most of them were over 30. 40s and 50s, some of them. But about 5% or something like that, or less, were under 21. So let's take all the guns away from all the people that are under 21 because 3 or 4 of them have gone off the deep end and hurt some people. We allowed them to be hurt because we don't have enough good people carrying guns out there to stop the bad people with guns. And I'm not trying to quote Wayne LaPierre here. That's just the way it is. That's the story. It takes a good guy with a gun to stop a bad guy with a gun, and that's the end. That's where it's at. They're not going to stop when we ask them, please. They're not going to stop when we take all the good guys' guns away. They're not going to stop when we create more laws. They're not going to stop. We implement the death penalty for everybody you kill. It's still not going to stop.
You know, maybe y'all have missed the memo here. May have not been paying any attention to what's been going on here the last little bit. But murder, killing people, has become illegal. They frown on that. They kill people for that. They kill people for killing people. But you don't stop them from killing people. So we could have the death penalty for possession of all these guns. Do you think it's going to slow anything down? Hell, the majority of these people either kill themselves or killed by cops anyway before it's all said and done. They don't care. They either think they're going to get away with it or they don't care if they get away with it. So all the laws in the world, all the whole damn thing doesn't hold any water, doesn't make any sense.
What are we looking at here? NM Glock just puts NRA file suit over it. Yeah, I saw that today. NRA has filed a federal lawsuit against Florida for their law. So here we have government creating laws to prevent us from doing certain things or keep us from owning certain things or whatever. And we have to go to another level of government to get this level of government to quit being ugly to us. When does it stop? When do we quit going to the government to get government to stick with the Constitution and do things like they're supposed to do? I don't know how many times I've said on this show, and I'll say it again, I would crawl in a freaking hole if I knew I was going to come face to face with Thomas Jefferson and George Washington, and John Madison and Ben Franklin. I'd be scared to death, embarrassed to death to face them.
So, there you have it. Yakima Glock, you're right. There's a point there. Correct. Murder is illegal if the victim has passed through the birth canal. Yeah, that's right. I saw that some state, and I don't remember which one it was, said that if there is a heartbeat, that it would be, that abortion would be illegal. And somebody maybe have paid attention, better attention to that and knew which state it was. But anyway, well, I don't know what to,
it may be that people are starting to stand up a little bit for this. I don't know. In Austin today, there was last 10 days or so, there's been 3 explosions, killing a couple people, injuring another one. These were packages that were left on people's doorsteps. Could have been racism, could have been terrorism, could have been pranks. I mean, it was a pretty serious prank when you kill people. But this happened in Austin, Texas, all within a few days. Actually, 2 of them are on the same day, and then there was another one came by a few days later. First one happened on March 2nd. And the third one, I think, was yesterday, last night or something. So this was in Austin this time. You know, will it be in Farmington next time, or will it get down to towns the size of Sholo at some point? It's becoming more and more. We talked about this. We had a great concealed carry class over in Springerville Saturday, And this topic came up in our discussion there where, you know, when I first started doing these classes back in, concealed weapons classes back in, whenever it was, 2003, I guess, 15 years ago. The idea, the norm pretty much was you might, maybe in your lifetime might run into one assailant, might be somebody break into your home, you might run into somebody downtown. Highly unlikely that you might get two, but it's possible. And now, in the last very few years, it has changed over to where we're looking at multiple assailants, just having the gun. There was a time when women and men alike were quite satisfied with just having a gun nearby. The chances of them using it were so exceedingly unlikely that training was something that, you know, definitely not going to spend any time and money on. They take their little token class and call it good. But some people are waking up to the fact that just having the gun is not quite enough anymore. The likelihood of multiple assailants and longer distances for shooting, the likelihood of running into anybody, it's no longer just home invaders. It's no longer just rapists, just burglars or whatever, estranged or not estranged spouses. Yeah, estranged spouses, domestic violence. But we're looking at not only domestic terrorism, but international terrorism, international terrorists. We've seen it happen several times in this country already. So to get up one day, any day, and make that conscious decision,
should I carry my gun or should I not? Is it, what are the chances today of me running into a problem that is severe enough that I need to worry about having my gun? I think that, I know I'm a broken record because I've told you this so many times, that it should not be a decision anymore. It's just a matter of getting dressed. It's just a matter of when you get up and put your gun on, or get up and put your clothes on, the gun goes with it. Lady in the class this last weekend said, it's, you know, it's more difficult right now. It's not too hard. You know, most of us girls in here are wearing jeans and it's not too hard to wear a gun, but when it gets a little warmer and these coats go away, how do we, what's your suggestion for carrying a gun? And I said, I'll tell you what, I'm going to make this real easy for you. I'm going to say, you get up and make that decision to wear the gun. You dress around the gun. You figure out where you're going to wear the gun, where it's comfortable, where it's fast, where it's discreet, and then figure out what you're going to wear to cover it up. You don't get up and get up the classiest, tightest stuff you have and decide then, oh, where am I going to put my gun? If you're going to be serious about this, you've taken this class, you seem like you're serious, then you get up and put your gun on and figure out what you're going to wear around it every day. If the gun is too big, get another one. Trade this one off and find something else.
You can't wear a coat every day from now on.
I'll be back.
Twisting.
that was damn sure the sound of freedom.
Welcome back to another segment of the Shooting Bench, right here on the Survival Circle Radio Network.
Alright, we're back. I got something else. I'm going to change gears completely here. My blood pressure's going up with all this other stuff, and I've got a thousand things to talk about here that's related. But anyway, I got into discussion today with another expert on Facebook. And he comes out and makes the statement that, let me see how he worded it here. Give me just a second. Just talking about moving targets and whatnot in the home, and well, you may have deleted it now. Now there, maybe this is it. There you go. He said, "If in self-defense, the challenge is that probably you." And the attacker are moving. Solution, the shotgun. I understand the sentiment here. I understand that when people say things like that, they really haven't shot as much as they would like for people to believe, which is also what he accused me of. We're talking about home defense. The ranges in the home are going to range anywhere from, with a shotgun, you know, 3, 5, 7, well, no shotgun, handgun, whatever. Most people don't have much more than 7 yards, 10 yards maybe, unobstructed distance, you know, across the living room, down the hallway or something. Yeah, I know bigger houses have more than that, but most people on the average, you know, 30 feet is kind of a long shot in the average home. So my answer to his deal, I said the solution in my opinion is training. And I'll tell you why. A couple of things. The shotgun is fine for some purposes in the home. But since we don't know if they're going to be 1 yard away or 10 yards away, the shotgun for the untrained person, even somebody that is trained pretty well, is not a great choice when the person is 1 yard away. Will the shotgun do the job at 1 yard? Yeah, if you don't get the gun taken away from you, or knocked out of your hands, or you know, pushed to the side where it's ineffective. If someone gets a hold of that, and of course people have their tactical sling over their shoulder, and somebody grabbed that barrel, and now you just pretty much at their mercy. So I'm not completely opposed to a shotgun in the home, but it is definitely not my first choice. This guy says there's a saying, if the average person cannot do it, then you designed the job wrong. Okay, I get that. I know that if I have a task for someone to perform and the average person can't do it, then I maybe should have rethought the job. Okay? You do not have that pleasure, that luxury, when you're talking about self-defense. I did not design the job. The average person may not be able to do it with a long gun in confined quarters.
He said the average person can hit more reliably with a shotgun when there is movement and with less training.
The answer to that is no. They cannot. We've talked about this. It's been a long, long time since we've talked about it, but we have talked about it. At the distances that we're talking about, well, let me back up a little bit. The common misconception, the myth, the fairy tale of the shotgun, and you hear it all the time, get a shotgun. All you have to do is aim in the general direction and you'll hit him. No, you will not. In the distances that we're talking about, you're talking about a single ragged hole in a paper target. You're talking about, 20 feet away, you're talking about maybe a 3-inch pattern, and that is with a cylinder bore with an open choke shotgun. If your shotgun is full or modified, you're talking about a 3/4-inch hole. Is a 3/4-inch bigger than a 9mm? It absolutely is. I get that. I totally understand. But it's still only 3/4 of an inch. Or 2 inches. Let's go with 2 inches or so. There is no shoot in the general direction. You still have to hit and aim. You are no more likely to hit a moving target, or maybe I should say so minuscule, such a minor, tiny amount, percentage, more to hit a moving target or a steel target either, as far as that goes, with that 2 or 3 inch pattern than you are with a 45 caliber pattern. Yes, I know, I get it, I'm completely aware that if you missed by 2 inches with the 45, you would have hit him with the shotgun. Well, here's the deal. If you miss by 2 inches with the 45 and you do hit with the shotgun, you would have hit in the exact same place, it's still only going to be a flesh wound. You're not going to knock him down. You're not going to tear an arm off. You're not going to blow a hole through him that you can throw a cat through. You're going to nick him. Might draw a little blood. You might even render one arm relatively useless, but I doubt very seriously you'll get all the way to the bone, providing that you were shooting, that you would have hit in the same place with the shotgun as you did the 45. Is it less likely to penetrate walls and stuff? Yes and no. If you've got, this guy's presumption here is that double up buckshot has less penetrating power. Let me explain something to you. We did some penetration tests with 12 gauge, with buckshot, number 4 shot, number 2, number, what was the other one? 7.5, 4, 2, 4 buckshot, and double aught buckshot. And I'll tell you for damn sure, double aught will go through walls for a little while.
It will go through. We were shooting turkeys with Carhartt jackets on them, and it would easily go through both sides of the Carhartt jacket, the turkey, and a 4-inch wall behind it. The penetration of double aught buck, especially in reasonable ranges, defensive ranges, is really not any less than most of your handguns. You can make the handgun less. If you hit your target, if you hit your assailant with a well-designed defensive hollow point type bullet, chances are pretty slim, number one, that it will even exit the guy, and number two, exit the guy and go through one or more walls with any effectiveness. Yeah, I know it's possible.
Depends on the bullet, depends on what he's wearing, depends on where he's hitting, depends on caliber, depends on speed, depends on the style of bullet, depends on a lot of stuff. Depends, depends, depends. I know.
But on the average, the handgun bullet is not going to be nearly as damaging. And the other thing is, if a handgun bullet does go through a wall, it's going to go through the wall with, you know, it's going to go through a wall, and there's going to be a 9mm size spread when it comes through, or a 45 or a 40 or a 357. If the 12 gauge goes through the wall, which it will, then it's going to be a 6-inch, 12-inch, depending, because when that lead hits the wall and deforms more, it will come out and probably start spreading faster than it was before it entered the wall. Yeah, Doc, I am getting soft to my old age. Yeah, I should keep turkeys warm in the oven, but I spend money on Carhartts for them. Yeah, NM Glock, that I think you've had the same experience with that lever evolution that I have.
It's a hell of a lot better for self-defense than it is for hunting, I can tell you that. Wesley shot a deer with a 30-30 with that lever evolution one time. We had to throw about half the damn deer away. I mean, it was awful. I will never, ever, ever, ever shoot another deer with a lever evolution bullet. It is self-defense or varmint at best. Not it shoots well, it's accurate, does fine, but it was not good for that deer.
I am not a fan. I do not promote or support lever evolution for that purpose. Anyway, so that was the argument for him. He says, yeah, and he said the chance of needing to be trained is so low that rational people make training a low priority.
That statement doesn't make any sense. The chance of needing to be trained is so low. No, the chance of wanting to be trained is so low that rational people make training a low priority. He said field use, as in being a hunter, actually is a better approach because it's fun and people make time for it. You know, we had a class, still do, I just don't ever teach it anymore, had a class called Hunting Rifle. We have, since we came up with that class in 2014, have put a grand total of 3 people through it. In that same period of time, I've probably put, 300 people through defensive handgun class. So I told him that the last 2 sentences I could kind of agree with, but definitely not the rest of it. And another thing about the shotgun, it's harder to navigate through the home when you're clearing corners and you know, stepping into other rooms and whatnot with that longer barreled gun. Without training, without knowing what you're supposed to do with that muzzle and that gun, then that is not the best choice. When the guy is 2 yards away from you, that is not the best choice. And in the home, you can bet that they're going to be probably closer than 5 yards than farther than 5 yards. And 5 yard, okay, 15 feet, yeah, that's probably the 4 yards may be about the dividing line there where the shotgun is a little more likely to be, a little less likely to have it taken away from you. Once you get inside of 3 yards or so, it becomes much more likely that before you can get that shotgun into play that somebody, a good agile meth head, might grab that gun before you can get it into
play there. That way, and Glock, you talking about lever evolution in that 32 Winchester special? I didn't know they made those. And But I'm quite certain that it probably about took his head off. I don't doubt that a bit. Like I said, I am not a fan of that round. But and the Tinker, it is an argument for sawed-off shotguns, but even if you get down below the legal limit, even if you get down to a 12-inch barrel, you know, 15-inch barrel on a shotgun, it's still not a handgun. And for the average person, now you and I and NM Glock and Tebow and Copper and a few of you guys that listen here, we're probably in Doc. We're probably smart enough to tuck that thing up and keep it close to you and at that kind of range shoot from the hip. The average person that has had no training and no practice doing that probably won't. They're probably still going to try to bring it to the shoulder. The average person, I know that there are women out there, smaller framed women, smaller framed men, where some idiot at a gun shop has talked them into a pistol grip shotgun. Chances are pretty fair that a smaller frame person with no experience is going to shoot that pistol grip shotgun one time and lose it. Because if you haven't got a hold of that thing right, it's either going to get away from you or it's going to tear your hand all to hell. Can somebody with a little practice and experience do that? Sure. But you take a 115-pound woman that is not really a shooter anyway, but somebody's talked her into using this shotgun for home defense, she's probably going to die and relinquish her shotgun to her attacker. So I wish sometimes that I was not a trainer, because I try really hard to promote training, and quite naturally the common consensus here is, yeah, I'm trying to sell classes. Well, to some regard, that's true. But I can't promote training. How would I put it? You know what I'm trying to say. When I tried to get a bunch of people in Oregon to take a class here, and of course they had some high speed, low drag ninja warrior that had been to just back from Iraq that said they could do it a whole lot cheaper and everything. Okay, you know, I understand. Yeah, my training is not cheap. It's a hell of a lot cheaper than Frontside or Gunside or Thunder Ranch or Lethal Force Institute or something like that. But it's not as cheap as the average guy that just got out of the Army that teaches out of his garage either. That's just the way it is. I have a couple of people coming down here from Colorado Springs for training here in about 2 or 3 weeks. And if all goes well, then I will also be going back to Colorado Springs probably in a month and a half or so to teach the same class to more people. These people understand. They get it. They're very on top of the training deal there, where they understand that the gun without a certain degree of training is all but useless. And if we want to survive, like we talked about a little bit earlier, multiple attackers, international terrorists and stuff like that, then what you learned rabbit hunting when you were 8 years old with your grandpa is probably not all it's going to take. There's probably some other techniques and procedures and things that would probably be beneficial to you. Doc, you're right. Most women absolutely do better with 20 gauge, but I'll also say the 20 gauge is the absolute minimum. If you can't do it with a 20 gauge, then you don't need a shotgun. The 410 is not where it's at. The 410
is an expert's gun. You know, when I was a kid, 410 shells were way cheaper than everything else. It's just the other way around now. Some of the most expensive ones out there. But if you can get your running cottontail or your flushed quail or pigeon or dove with a 410, you are an expert. You have done well. But it is not a self-defense gun. Could you kill somebody with a 410? Absolutely. You kill somebody with a BB gun if you hit them in the right place. But it's not a self-defense gun. You can kill a deer with a 22. That doesn't make it a deer gun. There's been elephants killed with 7mm Mausers. That does not make the 7mm Mauser an elephant gun. It is not for self-defense. A third party come on this same thread here towards the end. And said... there's some other guys that have come on here. I didn't read some of these. But the last one says the judge is a good option. Stagger 45 and 410 with number 4 shot. The judge, as you know, is a 45 caliber 410 revolver. Heavy, bulky, and just one small step above completely useless. I have zero good things to say about the judge. Maybe we'll go over all that one of these days, but we did some quite a bit of testing and stuff with the judge when it first came out, when it was popular. And I come to the conclusion pretty shortly that it was about as useless as boobs on a rain barrel, so never was interested. Well, I've ranted and raved and carried on here till we're just about out of time, so I will scoot on out of here, and I'll see you guys Wednesday. I want to try to get to some of the stuff that I wanted to get to tonight, but, of course, when I get on a rant, it's hard to get me pulled away there. All right, let me see if we got everything ready. Let me check my chat room out real quick before I leave. And let's see. Yeah, NM Glock. I think that's exactly the guy, the one that I was thinking about, the 7mm Mauser for elephants. I think that is, I recognize that name. But, and the judge, yeah, the judge is good for snakes. Maybe... you know, maybe grouse or cottontails, you know, close range stuff like that. But a self-defense gun in the home against people? No, not at all. Better than a pocket full of rocks? Yeah, marginally, but yeah. Okay, I am going to scoot, and we will see you guys on Wednesday. Thanks for joining me. Well, that wraps up another edition of The Shooting Bench. Join me Monday and Wednesday from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, and again on Fridays from 7 to 10 for The Shooting Bench. Good night, and thanks for joining me. No explanation, no reconciliation. No, let's talk it over number I can call. Goodbye says it all.